Take your Bibles now and turn to 1 Samuel, if you will. 1 Samuel, it's in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 6. And we'll begin reading with verse 7. I want to preach a message entitled, Two Milch Kine. I'll tell you what that is in a moment, but it is in the Bible, Two Milch Kine. And we'll look at that. 1 Samuel 6. Follow as I read, please, beginning with verse 7. May we hear the word of the Lord as we read it. Now, therefore, make a new cart and take two milch kine on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart and bring their calves home from them, and take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold which he returned him for a trespass offering in a coffer, and send it away that it may go, and see if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh. Then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance. It just happened that way, that happened to us. And the men did so, and took two milch kine, and tied them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home. Now, in order to understand what's going on here, we need to know just a little bit about the history of what had taken place. If you recall the historical facts, you know that the Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Philistines. Now keep in mind, the Philistines are the enemies. And the Ark of the Covenant is very typical of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're very familiar, no doubt, with the Ark of the Covenant and how that was taken to the temple and placed in the Holy of Holies. As I've mentioned recently, it was made of shittim wood or acacia wood, which was a type of the humanity of Christ. It was overlain within and without with gold, a type of the deity of Christ. Inside that, you had Aaron's rod that budded, and the law, and some manna, all typical of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a very serious thing to be dealing with the ark. When we say, can I say it this way? When we fool with Jesus, it's a very serious thing. When we're dealing with Jesus, it's a very serious thing. And so a sad thing had taken place here. The ark had been taken over by the Philistines. Back in chapter 4, the Bible says the Philistines fought, Israel was smitten. That's God's chosen people. And they fled every man to his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. 30,000 people were killed because of what was done with the ark, and because the ark was missing. And the ark of God, verse 11, was taken, and the two sons of Eli, who was the priest, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. They were killed. Sad thing took place. The priest's two sons died. Later on, Eli was asking about it back in chapter 4, verse 17. The messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And then they had to give the sad news, thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. Boy, that was bad news to Eli. I mean, terrible news. Not only that his sons died, but the ark of the covenant. The ark was taken. And so he was upset, obviously. And it came to pass, verse 18, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, old and fat, and he had judged Israel 40 years. His time was up. Bad news, sad news. 30,000 people killed. Your two sons have died. The ark has been taken. Not good news for Israel. Terrible, terrible news. Not only that, Phinehas' wife, I love those names, don't you? His nickname was Finney, I guess. I don't know. But his wife had a baby. And guess what she named it? Ichabod. The presence of God is gone. The power has departed. The spirit has departed. God help us. In our churches, when the Lord's not here, we're in trouble. Every Christian and every born-again believer that's a member of a local church ought to pray every service that God will show up, that Jesus will show up in our midst and be there, and we'll hear from God. That's what we need. If we don't have His presence, folks, we don't have anything. I don't care how much money we spend for the accoutrements of the building or anything else. If we don't have the presence of God, we don't have anything. It wouldn't matter if you fired me and brought in some young, good-looking guy. If you don't have the presence of God, you don't have anything. You've got to have the presence of God. And that's what we need to pray for. So this was bad, bad news. But we want to look at these two milch kine. And that simply means two milk cows. Two heifers with young calves. That's what he's talking about. And you know, it's interesting. You can learn some things from some animals in the Bible. You remember I preached about the donkey Jesus rode on into Jerusalem. Not in, but on into Jerusalem. And one man was telling me the other day, I was talking to him, and he and his wife had been visiting our church. He said, you know that message? Said, my wife said she really liked that. Said, now she tells me all the time, honey, I'm your donkey. I said, well, hallelujah, my messages are getting through. Anytime a wife can say to her husband, I'm your donkey. But I think he said the same thing to her. But at any rate, the whole idea is I'm yours, and I'm here to help you and be a blessing to you. And that's good, isn't it, in any marriage? That's the way it ought to be. But here are two milk cows that we can learn some lessons from. Lesson number one, their willingness. Verse 7, he said that they were to get a milch kin, or milch kine rather, that had never been harnessed up, never been yoked up. And he's talking about that. As you go back in chapter 6 and verse 7, look at what he said. Take two milch kine on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart. Well, generally speaking, they would not be conducive. That would not be conducive to them pulling a cart. They were not used to that. But look at verse 10. And the men did so and took two milch kine and tied them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. That makes it even harder. But here we have two heifers, two cows that are willing. They have a willingness, even though they were never yoked before, to leave their calves and to do what they were told to do, what they were supposed to do in pulling that cart. By the way, they were not driven. I don't think there's anything to indicate they were driven. Somehow, they were available to Almighty God to do what God wanted them to do at that point in time. Now, animals don't have wills as you and I would, but God sovereignly overrules, and God can still use, and He's using them, but they are in some ways a type of us. They were not driven, but they were willing to be used. Now, the inclination would be for them to go back home. That's normal. That's natural. But no, they were willing to be used. God is looking for some willing servants. God is looking for some willing people. Number one, willing to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's where it all begins. When we're willing, we lay down our will and we give our will over to the Lord and we ask Christ to come into our heart. That's what Agrippa wouldn't do. That's what Felix wouldn't do, as I was preaching about this morning. They would not lay down their wills and turn their will over to the Lordship and the salvation and the redemption that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's exactly what Christ does. He invites you to receive Him as Savior. The songwriter reminds us that Jesus invites you near and angels are lingering near, but He wants you to come to Him, and He wants you to do that before the harvest is past. Now's the time to be saved. Now's the time to be willing to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And almost will never prevail. There's no way that it's going to prevail. It has to be a willingness right now. Now let's look at the way of their travel. They were willing. I ask you tonight, are you willing for God to use you and take you and bring glory to Him and do what He wants you to do? Are you willing to do what He has commanded us to do? They were willing to do that. Then there was the way of travel, verse 12. And the kine took the straight way. I like that. Those cows had better sense than some Christians. They were willing to take the straight way. They were going straight, and that would be the way they would go to Beth Shemesh. They were leaving a place called Ekron in Philistia, and they were headed to Beth Shemesh, which was in Judah, where they should have gone somewhere about 8 to 10 miles where they were to make that journey. And they could have gone left or right or turned around or whatever, but they went straight to the city of the priest, which was very important because that's where Jesus belonged. That's where the Ark of the Covenant should have been. They went straight. God give us some Christians today that walk straight. Amen. That walk straight, not only in holiness, but they know what their purpose is. A parolee, a criminal, said, I'm going straight now, and I'm going to abide by the law because I know it doesn't pay to do otherwise. And that's what you and I should do when we get saved, to determine we're going to walk straight. All side roads are wasteful. Any other priority in your life other than walking the straight path for God and walking straight for Him and doing what He wants you to do is a wasteful pathway. Any other pursuit that gets above and becomes a priority and becomes greater in our life than the pursuit of walking straight in a straight path and serving God and remembering why we're here is a wrong path. It's a wasteful pathway. Don't get off on those side roads. They lead away from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we as Christians need to be straight, and we need to live a separated life. Amen? Amen? Amen. Don't you think Christians ought to live a separated life? Amen. Separated unto the Lord. There are a lot of Christians today that are not separated. You can tell by the way they live, the practices they have in their life, some of the places they go, some of the things they do, and I might add, especially to some of the Christian ladies, women, by the dresses you wear and the clothes you wear. We ought to be separated. They ought to be able to look at any young lady in our church and say, you know, I suspect the way she's dressed, she's probably a Christian. And that's true of the guys too, but it is something obviously that guys know that has more of an impact on them. It's every man's battle, and God pity a woman who dresses provocatively and knows she's dressed. You cannot tell me they don't know what they're up to. If so, Daddy ought to get them somewhere in the back bedroom and sit down and have a lecture with them and say, do you understand what life is all about? Let me tell you a little bit about the birds and the bees, but I don't think today's generation is that naive, and I don't think some Christian women are that naive. I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail, but every once in a while, I think it's good to remember that we ought to walk straight, and we should realize that we should be separated, God-fearing Christians, where people can look at what we do, what we say, where we go, how we dress, and the habits of our life. Not that those things save us, but because we're saved, we're willing to live like that. That makes a big difference in our lives. Separation. The way of travel for them was straight. Notice not only that, what they did while they traveled. They realized why they were here. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went. Do you know what lowing means? Surely most of you do. It means they were mooing as they went. Bellowing. That's not a very good impression, I don't suppose, but you get the idea. They just kept on just kept on mooing wherever they went. They didn't quit. I've got a neighbor that's got a dog that barks at night. I wish that dog would shut up. I wish he'd quit. But he's like these milch kine, these milk cows, and everywhere they went, they were just mooing wherever they went. Amen. Well, God put it in the Word. God put it in there for a reason. God wanted us to learn something from them. And here's what I think they were doing. Everybody look and say, look at those heifers pulling that cart, and they're mooing. I never heard them moo just like that. What are they mooing about? They were getting their attention. God made them moo. Amen? So that people's attention would be called to the Ark of the Covenant on that cart and what was going on. And they'd say, what in the world is going on? We need some mooing Christians who, as we go and as we walk straight, we're willing to stand up for God and moo a little bit for Jesus. Amen? Moo for Jesus. Speak up for Jesus. Bellow for Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Let people know He's the Lord of your life. Let them know you love Him. I love these songs tonight. I'm telling you, I get so thrilled with those songs, I almost shout, but I don't want to disturb people, so I just sit there. You know, we're in the Bible Belt. Up north's where they keep quiet. Oh, Lord. No, up north in New England State is not where they keep quiet sometimes. It's down here in the south in the Bible Belt. But I got so excited those songs tonight. Bow down before Jesus Christ. Oh, I love Jesus, don't you? Thank God for the privilege of knowing who He is, for being born again children of the Lord. When I hear people sing about that, like these ladies and those who have sung tonight in the choir, my soul is blessed, and I'm just so glad I'm saved. I'm thrilled about the whole thing. I'm not going to get over it, and bless God, I don't want to get over it. I'm glad that I know who Jesus is, and we shouldn't be ashamed of Him. They made others aware. And spectators said, how unusual that they'd go around mooing and bellowing like that. To me, that is testifying. We ought to testify. And we ought to moo now. That's the urgency of the task. People are dying without Jesus and going to hell. It's time for us to start mooing. It's time for us to start witnessing. Tell your friends you work with about Jesus. Tell your relatives about Jesus. Tell your students about Jesus at the right and proper time, teachers. Tell others about Jesus. Let them know about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be witnessing for God. Men are dying. Amen. Men and women, boys and girls. Souls are crying. Really, they are. And they're dying without Jesus and going to hell because you and I won't move. Don't forget about these cows and the mooing. That ought to be something that every intelligent being can hang on to for the rest of our lives. Move for Jesus. Just get out there and move for Jesus. Not only that, their steadfastness in verse 12. And the kind took the straight way to the way of Bethshemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. They said, we got a job to do. We can't be turning aside to these other things. Steadfastness. What are you talking about? The cause. What is your cause tonight? You say, well, my cause is to get my children educated so they can make a lot of money. Hey, there's a higher cause than that. If that's all you do, you fail. Now, if you can get them saved and they'll serve the Lord and all of that, that's good. But what's the cause? What's the cause of this church? What's my cause? Why am I here? Why are you saved and left here? Well, like the fig tree, why cumbereth it the ground if it's not going to produce fruit? We have a cause. What's the cause? The cause is to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ so that others might see Him and be gloriously saved and go to heaven with us, that they might come to know Jesus Christ. The cause in your life and my life that God has left us here is not to make a name for ourselves, not to accumulate gold and silver and great goods and all of that. The cause is not materialism. The cause is to serve Jesus Christ. Whatever else we do, whatever your calling may be, whatever else it may be, our cause should be to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking to one of our educators this morning just briefly. And he said, you know, when the missionaries stand up, I feel like I ought to stand up. He's a principal of a school. Not Chuck Roberts, but he's a principal too. But we've got a couple of guys that are principals of schools, at least two that I know of. And he said, you know, I feel like I'm a missionary. I ought to stand up with the missionaries. And I was kidding him a little bit, and I said, wouldn't you like to have a Christian school? Take a Christian school. And I was just ragging him a little bit and saying, you know, they pay a lot of money. Oh, you've heard too, haven't you? So, But he said, you know, I believe I'm where God has called me to be, and I believe I'm a missionary. And I said, thank God, we need light where there's darkness. We need salt. And thank God for that. And I'm glad that he understands. But his cause is not just education. You get it? He understands that though he is an educator and he's in that position, his cause is Jesus Christ, to serve the Lord however you can in that situation. The cause. And the milch kine were hungry, and yet they didn't turn back. They didn't go back to eat corn. They didn't go back because of the calves. You see, there must be the preeminence of God's work in my life, in your life. And I submit to you, in many Christians' life, that is not the cause. That is not preeminent, but it ought to be. Amen? It surely ought to be. Their steadfastness. And then, the last thing, verse 14, they became a sacrifice. Amen. And the cart came into the field of Joshua, a Bethshemite. Joshua was a Bethshemite. I bet you didn't know that, did you? And stood there where there was a great stone, and they clave the wood of the cart and offered the cows, the heifers, a burnt offering unto the Lord. Well, fine deal for all the work I've done, huh? But you know, that's exactly what God's calling every one of us to do. Come to the place. Go straight. Walk straight. Know your purpose. Know your cause. Witness as you go. Finally come to the place in your life as a Christian that you're dead to self. You offer yourself wholly, totally on the sacrifice and say, Lord, I am yours. Lock, stock, barrel. That means everything in the warehouse. I'm yours. I die to the self-willed way of life. Here I am, God. And I'll tell you, that's the secret to Christian vitality. It's when we finally come to the place that we put ourselves on the altar like these milch kine, these two cows, and they offer them up to God as a sacrifice, along with these other things. And the ark gets put back where it belongs. It gets put back where it belongs. And after all, is not Jesus our sacrifice? Amen. That's exactly what he did. That's what it's all about. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed for just a moment. And friend, I want to ask you, as a Christian, are you like these cows, these milch kine? They had a willing heart. They were willing because of God's sovereignty. And they went straight. And they didn't get deterred by anything else. They witnessed as they went, and finally they said, Lord, here I am. I offer myself. My purpose in life, God, is to bring glory to you until the day you return, Jesus comes back, or till the day I die. Is that true about you in your life? Today it should be for all of us. Father, there may be somebody here that's not saved. Even if there's one, we know that that soul is worth the value of the whole world and more. What will a man give in exchange for his soul, worth more than the whole world? That's why, Jesus, you died for us and gave yourself as a sacrifice. And Lord, help us to be like these illustrative milch kine. God, that would have a willing heart, that people would be willing to get saved, willing to surrender, willing to walk straight, willing, oh God, to be separated and live for Jesus, willing to speak up, willing to be offered as a sacrifice and not get deterred about other things in life. Oh God, help us to get our focus back where it should be. In Jesus' name, amen.